is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He bases in London, writing political economics column. And we addressed Joe's column of some days past because it's much in the news now that something unexpected is going on in the People's Republic of China's ruling party, the Communist Party. The unexpected is that it appears from the outside that asset classes are being reduced arbitrarily, or at least we do not now have a rule for what's going on. Most recently, we have this from the Journal. Shares of Tencent Holdings and rivals fell Tuesday within these hours after a state-owned Chinese newspaper criticized online gaming as opium for the mind. That's a quote. Fueling investor concerns that the company's popular games could be swept into a broader regulatory crackdown. Within hours, the article was no longer accessible on the paper's website before later reappearing with some of its harsher language removed. Meanwhile, Tencent said it would introduce stricter curbs on younger users. By younger, they mean if you're under 12, you can't play at all. If you're over 12, you'll have your hours limited for online gaming. Opium for the mind. This connects to a column, most recently by Joe from London, about the destruction of the Chinese tutoring services, traded as VIEs. The destruction looks to be complete. The driving remark, and I paraphrase, was from Xi Jinping, the president for life himself, saying that tutors should not show profit. Their profit should be zero, which turns upside down the whole idea of listing on a market or, in fact, working at all. Joe, a very good evening to you. This and other remarks made by the Chinese Communist Party, for example, the clawback of the Didi IPO, the statement that IPOs from now on may not be permitted outside of China, may have to list in Hong Kong or Shanghai. Do you have a sense of the overall approach that the Communist Party is taking to the markets that have rewarded them all these decades? Good evening, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, guess what? The Communist Party of China is still a Communist Party. Surprise! You know, there had been this tendency to want to overlook that basic fact over the past couple of decades as they were embarked on their reform and opening up process and were allowing large Chinese companies to list shares and expand and seem to be creating what looked like a market economy. But we are discovering in these past couple of months that the political control is still a factor. And what apparently is happening, since of course you never have a high degree of transparency about the thinking within the closed world of the Chinese government, there seems to be this thought that they are no longer prepared to tolerate companies going overseas and raising large amounts of capital from foreign investors. And, you know, there can be any number of reasons why the Communist Party might decide that. I mean, they might conclude that they don't need the foreign investment anymore because it has already allowed these companies to become very big. They could decide that they're actually uncomfortable allowing some of these companies to grow the way that they have, because note that they're going after digital services companies of various stripe that tend to collect a lot of the sort of data on their users that the Communist Party thinks it should have a monopoly on when it comes to data or information about Chinese citizens. Or it could just be an attempt to reassert political control over this big thriving part of the economy. But whatever it is, we're kind of discovering that investors had forgotten that politics is everything in a communist economy are getting a little singed, as all of this unfolds.
Joe, let's do some definitions. What is a VIE, a variable interest entity, and how does it connect to the destruction of VIEs because they were associated with tutoring?
Well, this is a really important factor of some of these Chinese listings in Western stock exchanges or foreign markets, including Hong Kong, which is foreign from China's perspective. It was the way, the legal mechanism by which they listed, because investors in outside of China tended to overlook the fact that all of these listings were technically illegal under Chinese law. You were never supposed to have foreign ownership of big tech companies precisely because they were viewed as so politically sensitive, and that was black letter Chinese law. The workaround was to create these structures called variable interest entities, or VIEs, which was actually an offshore holding company that kind of establishes a contractual relationship so that the operating company in China promises that it's going to remit all of its profits to this offshore entity. And so what the foreigners were buying were actually shares in these offshore companies, but they weren't buying equity in the operating Chinese firm in the way that you usually think that you're doing if you buy a share in a normal American or European company, for example. And this turned out to be really important because when companies first started doing this about 20 years ago, I think the assumption was really that it was just a matter that they were pushing ahead with the listings and the Chinese law hadn't caught up to this yet, but the law eventually would. But the law never did, and that should have been a clue that Beijing wanted to keep open the option of pulling out the rug from under these things, because all Beijing has to do is say, no, guess what? Actually, this structure is illegal. You're not allowed to do that. And in fact, that seems to be what they're doing with the tutoring companies. And in fact, you know, some of the regulations on these online tutoring companies that were at the center of some of these stock dips recently have to do with forcing the companies to quote unquote rectify their shareholding structure. And so, you know, the key is that Beijing always gave itself this option of unwinding these listings in overseas markets. And investors kind of assumed that Beijing would never exercise that option. And now it turns out that that assumption was a mistake.
You also mentioned, Joe, we start with VIEs. But the question here is Chinese companies at all being listed outside of China, where they heretofore were expected to meet the regulatory minimum of transparency. That was never the case, to my understanding. And you were many years in Hong Kong and commented on the matter. Now that is still in place, but suddenly the SEC or other body, regulatory bodies have awakened. How to say this, Joe? They've awakened to the fact that these companies are not transparent, that we have no way of validating their results when they publish them. And I note that the Chinese regulator is now asking to talk to the SEC because we've discovered that we don't know what their companies are worth. Untangle this for me, Joe. It's as if Rip Van Winkle just woke up and say, hey, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, this transparency is the other thing that a lot of people now are going to claim is really obvious in retrospect. I mean, to some of us, it was obvious all along, and everyone kind of ignored it. You know, the precise flashpoint always had to do with the audits of Chinese companies, because, of course, American law and the SEC requires companies to publish independent audits of their books so that investors can understand the financial condition of the company that they own. I mean, this is a very basic rule of law and transparency requirement. And U.S. law has all of these requirements also about regulatory oversight of the auditors, especially after, you know, various, you know, accounting scandals in the early 2000s. And China never played along with those rules. In fact, you know, Beijing's position was always that it would not comply with these requirements and it would not allow the auditors of Chinese companies listed in the U.S. to comply with these requirements, because all of the audit work, the behind the scenes, what's called work product, the paperwork that goes into these auditor reports, was a state secret in China. And think about that for a minute. I mean, the government was stepping in to prevent these companies from complying with all of these rule of law and transparency regulations in the U.S. And only in the past couple of years did Congress really get interested in trying to enforce any of this. And it's kind of amazing to think of all of the investors who overlooked this big red flag that something was amiss, that somehow Beijing never quite got over that, never made any of those steps toward behaving more like the market economy we kept telling ourselves it was going to become. And now we're kind of discovering that was because Beijing wanted to keep open the option of going backward.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board. He writes the political economics column based in London, and we're observing his most recent column about the Chinese capital markets apparently under assault by the Chinese Communist Party. We're going to turn to the British government next, Mr. Johnson, because the pandemic is still with us. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.